Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Tuesday, June 18th. Today, Sun business reporter Tamara Chung has more behind-the-scenes insight about the recent AI bill the governor signed into Colorado law and possible changes after pushback from the local tech companies. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Pinnacle Assurance, Colorado's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Pinnacle provides caring protection that Colorado businesses can rely on as they expand across the country. From finance to robotics and Arizona to Orlando, Pinnacle's nationwide coverage goes wherever Colorado businesses grow. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1960, Colorado saw politics and sports collide. At the state Democratic Party meeting in Durango, Senator John F. Kennedy spoke to 2,500 people, securing over half of Colorado's delegates. His liberal stance signaled a shift in the party, sidelining longtime conservative leader Edwin Johnson. Meanwhile, Arnold Palmer achieved a historic victory at the U.S. Open in Denver, transforming golf's elite image with his come-from-behind win. Both events marked significant moments for the state, putting Colorado in the national spotlight. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun is partnering with multiple news outlets across the state to understand what is driving Coloradans this election year. What issues do you care about most as we head into the 2024 election? Let us know by filling out our survey at coloradosun.com/votervoices. Next, our feature story.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Sun Up today, everybody. I'm David Krause, one of the editors here at the Sun, and it's another wonderful Tuesday session talking a little business with my friend and business reporter, Tamara Chung. Tamara, how's your day going?
It's going great, David. How are you?
Doing awesome, thanks. You had a story over the weekend, late last week, kind of got a lot of eyeballs, kind of a weird thing that's been going on in the past few weeks up at the state legislature, the governor's office, and now the tech companies. Tamara, let's talk about this artificial intelligence bill that kind of slid through the Colorado legislature at the end of the session. Talk about this Senate bill, kind of what it is, Tamara, and why is it all of a sudden back in the news after getting signed by the governor?
Yeah, so I think we've actually even talked about it on this podcast that this bill was pretty much a done deal with Polis's signature sometime in May. This is an artificial intelligence bill. The aim of it was to prevent discrimination by AI devices or technology. So that, you know, in cases where rent or job offers or, you know, just job listings and stuff may exclude people, you know, based on discriminatory AI, you know, that's what this bill was aiming to prevent. So the thing is, this bill flew through the legislature and, you know, I say that not being a, you know, I don't cover politics full time, so I don't really follow this too much. But I know that 3 to 4 weeks to go from first committee hearing to Polis's signing or the governor's signing seems really fast for a bill to get through. I know it is, since the start, when I started covering it, the AI community, the tech community here in Colorado was really confused, and it seemed to go really fast and really sudden. Regardless of any sort of opposition there, you know, the bill did pass, of course. So it was kind of a surprise last week when I started hearing about the greater tech community coming out and wondering, well, wait a minute, what happened? How is this going to affect our own business? How is it going to affect these startups that are attracted to Colorado and the investors who want to put money into these startups? And within a week, apparently, a bunch of local tech leaders and investors were in discussion with Polis, Governor Polis, and even Attorney General Phil Weiser, and the prime sponsor of the bill, Senator Robert Rodriguez. They ended up putting out a new letter to the public and to innovators. And this is a letter from signed by Polis, Weiser, the AG Weiser, and Rodriguez, Senator Rodriguez, saying, hey, we're going to revise this bill. Here's some new conditions. And here's things we hadn't really anticipated. We don't want unintended consequences of this bill. And, you know, it was kind of surprising because it almost seemed like an about face, but there was still, obviously, they also addressed that there's still concern about discrimination with AI against consumers. So that was still a big concern in the letter. But it was kind of like a, you know, read between the lines here. We got to redo this bill.
So Tamara, you know, you and I talked about this in our pre-production meeting, always trying to think of what people are interested in. You know, to me, and you talked about how quick it went through, but weren't the AI companies, why are they surprised on something, even though it went through that fast, right? They seems like they should have enough either lobbyists or lawyers or somebody in the mix to be paying attention to these things. Did it catch them by surprise? And why do you think it did, if so?
Well, some of the AI companies I was talking to early on in the process, so this is late April, they're not really, you know, they're not lobbyists. You know, they're not that organized. I mean, AI, this new form of AI really took form about 2 years ago with OpenAI's launch of ChatGPT-4. Which is, you know, this really innovative way to get AI to respond by prompting, like, it's almost like a search engine for the internet, but asking it questions, having it rewrite something or tell you things in a way that you could sort of copy and paste it into a letter or a report or something like that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of ethical issues with that because some of the information was incorrect. Plagiarized. There are just some issues with it, but still, it was the most advanced sort of AI that a lot of consumers and a lot of these companies had seen. So it was this, you know, casual group of folks who were opposed to it, but there was also a lot of support for this law. The labor industry and some of the consumer advocates definitely were pushing for the passage of this law because discrimination is already, these cases have already been cited, you know, from, as I mentioned, renting an apartment and stuff like that. Or even in legal briefs, you know, I think some lawyers were caught using AI generated legal briefs and citing cases that didn't even exist. So, you know, there has to be some sort of guardrails here. And Colorado is one of the leaders in trying to protect consumers. You know, we have a privacy law that has been in effect, and it's one of the stronger ones out there to make sure companies, you know, if they get hacked, that they've got to share that information so consumers can protect themselves. But even like consumer data, you know, there's a lot of proactive laws that help consumers protect their online personas and information from getting stored forever in some of these companies that track you around the internet. So this was kind of the attempt to get Colorado on the record for AI. And I would say that Colorado was following another state in this process. And that state was Connecticut. So Connecticut was trying to put its own AI bill together. And that one actually did not pass. And I think a lot of the national lobbyists were focusing on the Connecticut bill, and Colorado picked it up immediately, but the focus was already in Connecticut. So I think what happened here in Colorado, there was less attention than what happened in Connecticut. And so it kind of took everyone by surprise, at least on the industry side. Again, I think the consumer advocates were always part of this bill and continue, you know, they plan to be. So hopefully the next iteration will be something more amenable to all the sides. And I think that's, I guess, how, you know, policy works, right? And how laws come together with compromises. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens because, you know, there's a lot of investment in Colorado on tech companies. And if there's a misperception that Colorado isn't friendly to tech companies. I think this is why it would hurt that industry. But, you know, that's, of course, according to, well, the tech companies themselves, who some of the biggest players had only mentioned that they only heard about it after Polis signed the law.
It just seems so weird that you always hear about all this lobbying going on for these bills, or, you know, groups are like, no, we're opposed to this. And it just, to your point, you know, at the beginning, it just feels like it kind of went through quickly. But the backside, I guess, Tamara, and let's talk about this. All right, so now they want to make all these changes. The bill isn't supposed to go into effect until February of 2026. So we certainly have time. They vowed in the letter to make some changes. What do you see coming between now and the next legislative session, which begins in January, when they can start addressing this stuff, assuming they don't do a special session?
So the problem with this law, at least among AI companies, was that it was too broad and too vague. And it did things like it defined companies, AI companies that had high-risk systems as the ones that were being targeted by this law. You know, they're the ones that really needed to abide by consumer privacy and consumer accuracy, I guess, you know, as they were doing their development. But, you know, a lot of the even smaller AI companies, they were still a little confused, because if they were using software from these larger companies, it's like they were concerned if that meant they needed to also abide by these more administration and, you know, for the burden of making sure that their system, when it got updated by a third party, if they suddenly got out of compliance. And I think so defining AI and high-risk system is like was a big thing that the tech companies really asked for. And I think the other thing is, when Polis signed this law into, you know, signed the bill into law, he acknowledges he had a lot of concerns with whether this would stifle innovation in Colorado or prevent companies and investors from coming to the state and building out their companies. But when he signed it, he acknowledged that, hey, this doesn't go through until 2026. So that gives state lawmakers and the tech community a whole nother legislative session to iron out some of these policies and rules. And I think that's what happened kind of with this letter. Polis essentially laid out what needs to be changed and addressed. And again, some of those things were defining AI and what the systems are and how to regulate who it is versus, you know, large versus small companies. And there were also things like, you know, if consumers wanted to appeal some of this stuff, they would need to go through the attorney general's office as opposed to maybe going to some other court system. So there are things that consumer advocates were really pushing for. And then this update in Polis's letter, they don't seem too pleased with the updates.
Yeah, and let's talk about that last thing, because as you mentioned in the story, you know, those consumer advocates, some nonprofits that, you know, fight for civil rights and liberties, you know, as you wrote about, you know, they felt the bill didn't go far enough because AI discrimination is already occurring. You know, some examples you cited are like background checks and resume screenings and even adjustments to auto insurance premiums. Tamara, what specifically did you hear from them about, you know, pushback as far as the tech companies coming in and wanting to make changes to a bill that's already been passed?
Yeah, well, you know, consumer advocates, I think both sides seem, you know, very confused about where this law is going. And I think that's what's going to happen with this task force that has to be put together to study, you know, how exactly are those rules going to come out and be defined. And I think that's how a lot of these laws, you know, once they do become law, there tends to be a task force that's created in order to figure out what the specifics of the law are going to be. I think it's too early for me to say anything about how this law will end up. But whoever's on this task force is probably hopefully going to get a lot of good conversation going with the future of AI regulation in Colorado.
Interesting stuff. And really, you know, we, like you mentioned, we've talked about it before. I know we'll talk about it again as this goes through, but really interesting to see the reader engagement in that story last week. One of our, if not, I think it might have been our most read story, just people jumping in because, to your point, the confusion, not only as consumers, but also for policymakers and for the tech companies. So, Tamara, I appreciate you spending a little more time putting some more perspective on all of this for us. And I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. If you are one of those people who has not checked out Tamara's story, you can certainly go find it at our homepage, coloradosun.com. And you can go to coloradosun.com/working to sign up for Tamara's weekly free What's Working newsletter. Comes out every Saturday, gives you some thoughts for the weekend to think about getting ahead for the business week. Tamara, always great to catch up. Make it a great week, my friend.
You too. Thanks for listening, everyone.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A nonprofit that has fought a handful of major dam and waterway projects across Colorado in the past decade says it will sue to block Larimer County's approval of a permit for Thornton to build part of a pipeline meant to deliver Poudre River water supplies. The group, known as Save the Poudre, joined other environmental groups and neighbors in objecting to the Larimer Commissioner's vote in May. They say Thornton should take its water rights through the Poudre River channel itself rather than through a disruptive pipeline. The group says the lawsuit will be in Larimer County District Court. Moffitt County, the City of Craig, and Colorado state officials want Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association to provide up to $118 million in aid for the region to head off a near-existential threat from the pending closure of a coal mine. Tri-State operates the coal-fired Craig Station and plans to shutter the plant's first unit at the end of this year and close down the rest by 2028. The two local mines that provide the coal are also expected to close. The closures will leave a large hole in the region's tax base and jobs. U.S. Senator Michael Bennett toured southwestern Colorado for several days this month, meeting with supporters and opponents of a plan to preserve the Dolores River in Mesa and Montrose counties. The senator was investigating a proposal to protect about 400,000 acres around the Dolores River with a national monument designation from President Joe Biden. The call for increased conservation and possibly more federal regulations around the trickling river and its remote canyons has stirred vehement opposition. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
This is Christina Pritchett, Marketing and Events Specialist at the Colorado Sun. In my role, I get to witness the Sun's impact on our state firsthand. I always leave our events feeling inspired by those who attend and share the impact that the Sun has in their daily lives. If you're a follower of the Sun, please reach out and tell us what you think of our reporting and let us know how it makes a difference in your life. The Sun is member supported, so if you're not yet a member, please consider joining us today at coloradosun.com/join.